I'm on. Thanks, Clive. Let's just pray before we come to God's word. I really considered this week whether to change my message and maybe preach on something different regarding everything that the nation is going through. But actually, as most of you who are here regularly will know, we're going through a series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this week's topic, as it landed this week, was the gift of miracles. So I thought, you know what? Let's not change it. Let's just press on and look at what God is saying to us through this. So let's pray together. Lord God, as we come under the sound of your word, we pray right now that it will drive into our hearts like a two-edged sword. God, I pray that your word will not leave us bereft, Lord. I pray, Father, that we will absorb everything you have for us today, and that, Lord, you will speak into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? You'll be probably fairly familiar with this passage now, and even if you haven't been in this church over the last few weeks that we've been looking at this passage, it's a well-known passage, so you're probably fairly familiar with it. But we're going to look at verses 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and through to verse 11. It says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, and that's what we're looking at today. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, I've got to say, I have really enjoyed preaching through the gifts of the Spirit as laid out in this passage with Pastor Gareth and Pastor Malcolm. Of course, with the nine gifts, we've taken three each, and we're looking through that in a systematic fashion, although we tackled tongues and interpretations together on the first week, because that's generally one of the most, as I see it, misunderstood or mistaught gifts. So it was important that we started out with that one. But today we're looking at this gift of miracles or miraculous powers. And I just want to draw your attention to a verse in Matthew chapter 19. And these are the words of Jesus. And he said this, it says this: Jesus looked at them and he said, this is the words of Jesus, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen. Can I get an amen? With God, all things are possible. That has got to be our starting point when we look at the gift of miraculous powers. In fact, that's got to be our starting point when we look at any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's got to be our starting point, actually, in the wider sense, when we look at any of our teaching or any of our application of our teaching in our day-to-day Christian lives. With God, all things are possible. With man, not everything is possible. Man cannot come up with all of the answers. Man cannot know the start from the end. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the God who literally created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who formed man from the dust, who breathed life into his nostrils. This is God who knows where we are going. This is God who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. And with this God, all things are possible. God is not limited by our knowledge of what is natural and what is supernatural, because God is not bound by natural law. He is, by very essence and virtue of the fact that he's God, a supernatural God. And the spiritual gift described in this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:10, the Greek phrase that is used here is, and I'm going to have to read this, I had this in my head. I knew I could just look at it and say it, but I'm going to have to read it. Energimata dynamion. Now, Pastor Malcolm was a Bible college lecturer, and we have two of our Moreland students. How did I do? Was it all right? Was it okay? Okay. This literally translates, this is easier, it literally translates as workings of powers, plural. If you look at the word energimatia dynamion, it means literally, it's the same root word as dynamic energy. This is what God is talking about when he puts these words to paper through his servant. And the double plural workings of powers that is used most likely means that these gifts are diverse. They were not permanently available at the will of the gifted believer. So the believer couldn't just say, okay, today I'm going to use the gift of miraculous powers, and I'm going to walk down the street, and I'm going to turn all of these stones into gold, and I'm going to make myself a fortune. Doesn't work like that. Or I'm going to turn all of these stones into toilet roll and make even more money. Or hand gel. Now, I'm not making light of the situation, you know that. But these gifts were distributed at the relevant time to the believer, at the relevant circumstance. Verse 11 certainly seems to ratify this when it says, and he distributes them each to each one just as he determined. So the gifts are subject to the divine will of God and to his purposes. They are not decided by the one who performs the miraculous works. What do I mean by this? Let me just give you a little bit of explanation around that. All of the gifts, I state, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are miraculous. By virtue of the fact that they cannot be explained or actioned through natural means. Healings especially we see as miraculous, don't we? Which of course they are. But so are tongues, so are interpretations, so are words of knowledge, so are words of wisdom, so is prophecy and all of the other gifts, because none of them, though they may be imitated and though they may be counterfeited by agents of the enemy, not one of them is truly available through natural means. But this spiritual gift of miraculous powers, or simply, I'm sure some versions, I think, just say miracles, but I like the miraculous powers rendering of that, is talking about the wider aspect of the miraculous that falls outside of the things listed in the other gifts. The literal translation, workings of powers, means that these things that cannot be explained naturally are available to the person who is moving in that gift. These are not, and I'll go into this in more detail in a minute, these are not unbidden miraculous works of God necessarily. Or they are not even necessarily answers to prayer. This is the servant of God, the man of God, the woman of God, the young person of God. And let me just reiterate here for our young people that are here, and take this to the rest of you who are around on Friday night. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are as available to each one of you as they are to everybody over 20. Okay, these are relevant to every single one of you. But this is the man, the woman, the young person of God, full of the Holy Spirit, moving in miraculous powers as apportioned to them for a particular time and circumstance. They're not superpowers available to be summoned up at the will of the bearer, as I just explained. So let's have a look at the moment at what I mean by that. What do I mean by they are not the unbidden miracles of God, and they are not necessarily answers to prayer? So let's have a look at miracles that are not the gift of miraculous powers. Let's have a look at the miraculous that isn't the Holy Spirit gift of miracles. Does that make sense? So I'm going to look at what it isn't so that we can further explore what it is. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay. For example, let's have a look at Peter. You remember that scripture in Acts chapter 12 when Peter is locked in prison. And what is the church doing whilst Peter is locked in prison? Who can tell me in Acts chapter 12? They're praying. Thanks, John. The church is together and they are praying for Peter. And there's a move of God's power which is manifest through his angel. And the prison doors are opened and the chains are released and Peter comes out. What does he do? He goes to the house and he knocks on the door and the guy doesn't even believe that it's him because, hang on a minute, it can't be Peter because he's locked in prison. But we've just been praying for that. Does that tell us about something about our move of faith when we pray? We've got to believe that we will get what we pray for. Amen? And God moves when the church prays. God will move in miraculous ways when the church seeks the face of God. Now, let me just use this as a moment to encourage you. We meet once a month on the first Sunday of the month. We meet together in this place to pray. I think there were six of us last time we met to pray together. Now, I've got to say, church, that's disappointing. I know there are reasons why people can't be there from time to time. And in fact, we weren't there last Sunday or last time because it was Obeth's birthday and we were out for a birthday with some family. But we need to get together and pray together. Every Sunday morning, we meet in that back room there at 9:30 to pray and to seek the face of God. Friends, it is so important that we come together and seek the face of God. This church will not grow. The power of God will not be evident in this place in any kind of significant way until we get into the habit and the process of coming together to pray together and to seek the face of God together. And then when we begin to see the answers to prayer, we've got to recognize that it is God who is moving in response to the prayers of the saints and the tears of the saints that are wetting the carpet in this place rather than the leak in the ceiling. Amen? Okay, so we'll move on. So Peter is coming to this place and he's released miraculously from prison. But this is a response to the prayers of the church. It was absolutely a miracle. But it was not the Holy Spirit gift of miraculous powers in operation. It was God's response to the prayers of the believers. And incidentally, in my experience, that's the most common form of the miraculous that we see. Last year in one of our prayer meetings, we were praying over the massage parlor, and I use the term very loosely, that was directly opposite the church. Many of you will know this story, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. We were praying over that place. I remember when we first came here, that massage parlor was open over there, Wolf Spa it was called. And I had a look on the website in the presence of my wife. And everything was available there. Men, women, every type of vice, every type of thing that you could possibly want was available there. And I remember sitting in our prayer meeting and we were praying and all of a sudden I was overcome with a kind of sense of righteous anger that this place over the road, which used to be the offices of this church before I came here, which used to be the Springbourne community offices, over the road in that building directly opposite the front doors of this church was putting that kind of thing on offer in broad daylight in this community. And we prayed against that place and we sought the face of God and we took authority over it in the name of Jesus. And I felt a moving in my spirit that we needed to pray that within 6 months from the date of that prayer meeting, the doors of that place would shut. And I felt a move of faith in my spirit to pray that 6 months from that date. And I stated that publicly in that prayer meeting at the time and reiterated it on the Sunday in church. And what happened? It was actually 3 months to the day, 3 months, half the time. And there was something God in that about he will move in half the time, but I won't go into all that. That was a message to me. But exactly half that time, literally just one day in the middle of the day, the people left, the sign came down and the doors were shut and they've never been opened since. Amen. I believe that you might call it coincidence. People might call that coincidence, but I believe that was a miraculous response to the prayers of the saints because we took authority in the name of Jesus. And it is so important that we make prayer a part of our everyday experience with God. So let's have a look at another situation in the Bible where somebody was released from prison. Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, a few pages on from where we were with Peter's experience in prison. And you remember that they're chained to the wall, aren't they? They're in stocks. Their feet are in stocks. They're chained to the wall. And they are crying and they're wailing and they're feeling sorry for... No, they're not, are they? What are they doing? They are worshiping. They are singing songs of praise to God. They're singing hymns. They are worshiping God. They are going about their everyday Christian lives regardless of the circumstances that they happen to find themselves in. And there is an earthquake and the prison doors fly open and their chains fall off. Again, this is a miracle. But this wasn't the Holy Spirit gift of miracles at work at that time. This was the unbidden, miraculous power of God at work in the lives of the faithful. It was a relationship response to God's children. Now, how can I explain this? Let me give you two examples using my wonderful, beautiful son over here. When Joseph was about 3 years old, I was climbing an ash tree in my garden. We had a very long garden. It was nearly 400 feet long, great big garden, and it backed onto a bridleway at the end. And there was a big ash tree. And some of you know I like to tree climb, ropes and harnesses and all of that stuff. And I had my climbing bag out, and I'd gone up this huge ash tree at the end of our garden just because I wanted to go up it. You know, why does a mountain climber climb a mountain? Because it's there. So I climb this tree, and I'm at the top of this tree, probably a good 50 feet or so above the ground. And Joseph had taken a stretchy bungee cord from my climbing bag, and he clipped it to his belt so it looked like a climber rope. And he climbed up a little conifer tree right at the other end of the garden. And as he climbed up this tree, he slipped. And he came down into a fork between two branches like this, and literally hung himself. And I could see him from where I was up this tree, right at the other end of the garden. I could see him slip and hang by his neck. Now, what did I do? In seconds, I abseiled down that tree. I unclipped myself from my harness. I ran the length of the garden. I shot up the fir tree. I grabbed hold of him by the front of his shirt and lifted him like that so that he was free from that choking. He did not have to ask me for help. I saw that he was in danger. I saw that he was in trouble. And I responded because I am his parent and because I love him. Now, a few weeks ago, Joseph had his motorbike in the garage, his little moped that he's got. Motorbike, it's got gears. It's not a moped. I'm not allowed to call it a moped. And he couldn't get it started. And I knew that he couldn't get it started. But I waited until he asked me for help because I wanted him to learn something about the bike. I wanted him to learn a lesson through that. And so I waited purposefully until he asked me for help. And I responded. In both situations, I responded, but for different reasons at different times and in different ways. Can you see how I'm using this as an illustration of how God works in different ways at different times for different reasons in our lives? Sometimes in response to prayer, sometimes in response to our cries for help. Sometimes he just steps in because he knows we can't even get to a place where we can ask for help, and he helps us because he loves us. Neither of these are the gift of miraculous powers at work. They're relationship responses to children of God. I developed a saying a number of years ago, and I honestly can't remember whether I made up this saying or whether I heard it somewhere and just adopted it. So I'm going to call it mine, but if you've heard it elsewhere, then forgive me. But it's this: don't seek the healing, seek the healer. And I would expand that today. Looking at Paul and Silas and their release from prison, they were in that place just worshiping God because they had a relationship with him. They weren't looking at their circumstances, they were looking at God. Don't seek the miracle, seek the miracle maker. God moved because Paul and Silas weren't looking at their chains. They weren't looking at their situation. Let me ask you today, what chains are holding you back? What situations are dragging you back and holding you down in your life? What family situation? What personal situation? What prison doors are keeping you locked in? Look to God and His faithfulness. Seek Him instead of trying to work a way out of that situation. And I tell you this today, watch those chains fall off. So let's have a look at some of the things which are the Holy Spirit gift of miraculous powers at work in Scripture. I think that's probably the best way to really describe what it is. And I've purposefully stayed away from the miracles of Jesus in this particular situation just to demonstrate and illustrate to us that these things are available to us who are not deity in human form. Okay, to every single one of us. Acts 13, chapter 4. Paul and Silas again. The two of them, Paul and Silas, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. It's important to note here that these guys were living lives completely submitted to the will of God, full of and led by the Holy Spirit. So the two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. I can say that one. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They were actively involved, as every one of us should be and can be, in their God-ordained ministry. Now, God does sometimes bring us to a place of rest, but God will never empower us just to sit on our, excuse the phrase, but to sit on our backsides and do nothing. He doesn't work like that. He wants us to be empowered for mission. I move on. John was with them as their helper. Verse 6, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Found that quite amusing. Who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And then Saul, who was called Paul. Now, just an interesting point here. Saul didn't change his name to Paul when he became a Christian, as many believe. It is simply the Aramaic and the Greek renderings of the same name. The two are interchangeable. Many times through Scripture, we find people have an encounter with God and their name is changed. That's not what happened with Saul, Paul. It's the same name, okay? So Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil." There's a word of knowledge at work there, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago. "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." And immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. And the next example I want to look at is this, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Do you see how worshiping together was a part of the believers' everyday lives? It was not an optional extra or a bolt-on. They were living God daily. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. I'm not going to do that today. You'll be pleased to know the people were passionate for the word of God. They were passionate about being the church. They wanted every minute of what God had for them. We wonder why we don't see miracles today. We wonder why we don't see as much of the power of God at work in our lives. It's because our lives are not as committed to God as they were then. Everything, every area, every portion, every ounce of their lives was given over to worshiping God and to seeing His will done in their lives. Anyway, verse 8, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. I like that, on and on. As Paul talked on and on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. There's a church litigation soon. Paul went down. He threw himself on the young man. And he put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home and were greatly comforted. I love the way sometimes I think we read that as being slightly understated, maybe. They were comforted. They've just seen a guy raised from the dead after falling out of a third-story window, and they were a bit comforted. I'm pretty sure that they were absolutely amazed at the work of God. And so in our first example, we see Paul moving directly in miraculous power as given by God through the person of the Holy Spirit for a specific event or reason. But it is Paul moving in that miraculous power. It is Paul saying, this will happen, and he moves and he speaks and it happens. Do you see the difference? It's the sorcerer or false prophet who's actively seeking to disrupt and block the work of the gospel. The proconsul is clearly an important guy. He's an influential man in the local area. And we know that if this man comes to Christ, many others will follow. So what's the reason for this miracle? The reason is that the gift of miraculous powers authorizes faith. We can see that this miracle removes an obstacle or an opposition from God's path. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, what did he say? He said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God will not allow obstacles to rise up in his path without moving them out of the way. Amen? And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, miraculous powers included, will see that accomplished. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People can come and they can try with their agendas and ideologies that are contrary to God's. But what does Proverbs 19:21 say? Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's will that prevails. God will not be moved by the plans of the enemy, folks. And we can take comfort in that today, knowing that whatever we face, He will move in the supernatural when we are in line with His will. Secondly, the gift of miraculous powers, the gift of miraculous powers propagates faith. So it authorizes faith and it propagates faith. Salvation was afoot. Salvation was about to happen. God had clearly earmarked the proconsul for salvation, and the power of the Holy Spirit would see that through to completion. Tied in with that, there is a bigger agenda for the propagation of the gospel through the testimony of this powerful and influential man. And lastly, the Holy Spirit gift of miraculous powers protects faith. The Holy Spirit was looking after Paul and Silas by protecting them from reprisals and also by adding weight and credibility to their message and witness, as well as demonstrating and reinforcing and building their faith. Thank you so much, Tom. Bless you. It's not the coronavirus. You're okay. It's just me shouting too much. In our second example, this young guy, Eutychus, had basically fallen out the window whilst Paul was preaching, and he died. And Paul went downstairs. In a clear moving of the miraculous powers of the Holy Spirit, in that gift, he declared life over that young man, and he was raised up from the dead. You can call that extreme healing if you like, maybe if you want to look at another gift, but I would say that was the gift of miraculous powers. The Holy Spirit always benefits the church and the believer when we are engaged in our calling and our ministry that God has apportioned us. Mark 16:15, he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. All of these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. There's a miracle. They will speak in new tongues. There's another miracle. They will pick up snakes with their hands. There's a miracle. They will drink deadly poison. There's a miracle. And it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill, and they will get well. God empowers our witness. He empowers our mission when we are acting in accordance with His will. Friends, I fully believe that when we're engaged in what God has for us, He will protect us. When we are missional through this virus that is sweeping our nation, I'm not saying that we should take unnecessary risks or anything like that. Excuse me. I'm getting a bit excited. But I do believe that God will protect us. Jesus himself shared his self. He shared love with the leper, did he not? I believe fully. Again, I'm not saying take unnecessary risks, but I am saying this, that we have an opportunity as a church in this nation at this time to show that the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds. Though the nation may turn to panic, we can trust in God, we can trust in His Word, and we can see people saved in and through the coronavirus. Amen? Yes, take responsible precautions, but do not be afraid to be God's ambassador to hurting people, to be His salt and His light in this world at this time. And so apart from the obvious benefit to Eutychus, who was raised from the dead, we read the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. In other words, their faith was stirred. We can infer from this that the gospel again was propagated through the amazing testimony of this young man. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, miracles included, serve to further the gospel, to see people brought to Jesus, to revitalize, to restore, to grow faith in the believer, and to affirm and accredit the ministry of the believer. Miracles, whether they are in response to prayer, whether they are unbidden acts of grace from God, or the Holy Spirit gift of miraculous powers in operation, are given by God to reveal His presence amongst the believers and to reveal the majesty and glory of God to the church and to the hurting world through the bride of Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit gift of miracles brings a sense of wonder and awe because it allows the faithful to be seen in action, as well as growing a godly fear and growing a sense of encouragement and boldness within the church. Do I believe in miracles today? Absolutely. Do I believe that the gift of miraculous powers alongside all of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to the believer today? Absolutely. These did not. We have nothing in Scripture to tell us that these gifts died out with the establishment of the early church. They are as much for us today as they were at the time that these words were written. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been written. God is not unclear in His Word. Would you stand with me? Let's just come to a place of worship. Do you know, church, I think just as Karen plays, as we come into a place of worship, I'd like us to do something. We don't do this very often. We do it from time to time. But can we just share the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.